You tell me women's empowerment, I think about confidence, I think about independence, I think about freedom, I think about, you know, success, pursuing your passion.
Hi guys, welcome to another amazing episode of the Unspoken Podcast. I'm super excited for this episode because this ain't just any episode. I have a very special guest on this episode, but first things first, before she introduces herself, my name is Awino Awiti, the host of this amazing podcast, and this is episode 114. Can you imagine that? We are on episode 114. Remember to check my YouTube and Spoken Podcast KE for some awesome vlogs over there. Check TikTok, Awino Awiti, and Instagram. By the way, news, I'm working with Wowzy again for the third time. So remember to check my Instagram, engage with my content over there. Yeah, so a girl gotta pay some bills. A girl gotta pay some bills. Anyway, welcome to this episode. So the guest I'm about to introduce, she's going to introduce herself. I'll allow her to introduce herself because she knows how, she knows the best way to do that. So the first, before that, I would like to just give a background of how we landed here. So she actually reached out to me, actually, and you know, she's from Canada, all the way from Canada. A girl is going international, guys. You didn't tell me. When I always say I'm spoken to the world, I didn't mean it literally. I'm always just saying it for the vibe, but actually, it's manifesting slowly. So she reached out to me via email all the way from Canada. And she said she would like to be a feature. She's to be featured on my podcast. And who am I? And mostly, I'm featuring her because I like what she stands for. I like what she does. Anyway, I don't want to give you guys spoilers. Welcome to this episode. Urmi, am I pronouncing that name right? Because I don't know. Introduce yourself and tell us what you do. And welcome to the Unspoken family.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me. And yes, you did pronounce it really well. It's Urmi. And yes, I am based in Canada. I am a woman who wears many hats. I do different things. I am a self-published author, speaker, mentor, blogger, and a big advocate of women's empowerment. I am currently part of two organizations. The first one is called Women in Leadership, where I am the social media lead. And the second one is called Femme Influence, where I am the campaign manager. So this is what I do in my daily life.
Wow, amazing. Basically, like I say, you wear a lot of many hats. Do you have like a favorite thing among all the things you've mentioned that you do? What's that one thing that wakes you up every morning like, I gotta do this? Among the things that you do, what's your favorite thing to do?
You know what? It's just the idea of doing the things that I love, like everything that I just mentioned, you know, like, running my YouTube channel, being a self-published author, you know, giving back to the community are things that really keep me, motivated and fulfilling. So it's pretty much, I would say the whole package keeps me, gives me the motivation to wake up and do the things that I love. I'm a go-getter. So I just like to get things done.
Awesome. I love it. Okay, let's indulge into why you're a self-published author. I'm quite interested first. Why venture into self-publishing? Why not go through traditional publishing? You need to tell us why, what's happened over there, and which book do you have out there? How can you find it? How can you read about it? How did you land? I just decided that, okay, guys, I'm going to write a book, because I'm always thinking if in my late 50s, my retirement plan is one day to write a book concerning this podcast. So I'm actually interested. Why self-publishing? Why not traditional publishing? And what led you to become an author?
Yeah, so the reason why I went with the self-publishing, it's because I didn't want to depend on anyone, and I didn't want to go through the struggle of like finding someone to publish my book. And what happened is I found a way that, you know, now you can publish your books without anyone. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it through self-publishing. And I felt like it was an easy process. And after speaking with a friend who told me, yeah, you can like self-publish it yourself, like you can just put it on Amazon, I was like, oh, okay. So I can do it myself. I don't have to wait on anyone's timeline. I don't need to wait on anyone's feedback. So that's how I came about with self-publishing, basically. Like, it just felt like it was an easier way to get my book out there. And my book is called Discovering Your Identity, A Rebirth from Interracial Struggle, which is a book about my own life being a third culture kid and how it felt like to grow up in two different cultures. And if I can give a suggestion to anyone about wanting to write your own book, I think that you can always do it, like no matter what. And I think the fact that you can just self-publish it yourself, it's an advantage because now you don't have to wait on anyone and you can save up a little bit on those publishing fees, for instance.
I like that. Like, what's the name? Identity what? I missed the name.
It's called Discovering Your Identity, A Rebirth from Interracial Struggle.
I like that title, Discovering Your Identity, because that is something I have struggled with in the past, especially with the podcast and finding my own voice, finding my identity. And why that title? Why Discovering Your Identity? Is it something you struggled with in your past? Please just give us a bit of how growing up in a different, where you grew up and how you landed where you are, and if you struggle with the identity, because I think this is something, I think I'm not the only one who has struggled finding my own identity, finding my own voice. And because this podcast is all about finding our identity, finding our voice, growing, personal development, I would love to know what led you to just writing that book and that title, and is it something you really struggled with growing up? How was your childhood? How was your childhood like?
Yes, basically my book is about my life in Italy. So I was born and raised in Italy and both of my parents are from Bangladesh. And basically in the book, I talk about my journey of being a third culture kid from a South Asian perspective, from a woman's perspective. So I make a comparison between the Italian and the Bengali culture and the differences that there are in the two cultures. And and often I went through the struggle of not fitting in. I always felt like I was misplaced. I never felt like I was Bengali enough. I never felt like I was Italian enough, which is why I decided to, write that book and talk about my journey. It's a memoir, basically. So it's about my life, my journey in Italy. And this is why I self-published it. And this is why I wrote about it. And I feel like it was an important message to put out there because, you know, it's about it's about diversity, it's about, you know, having multiple cultures. And I think there is a lot more people like me, third culture kids out there that need to hear this message, and this is why I wrote the book.
That's nice. So what should, if there's someone listening to this podcast and they're struggling with finding their identity, finding their own voice, what should you tell someone to do? What would you advise that person to read the book? After reading the book, will it be okay?
Definitely, I would say that my book is so here's the thing. I would say that for anyone struggling with their identity, I think it's always important to find the right mentors. Mentors that are much more similar to you, or to rely on friends that have multiple backgrounds, because I think it's a common conversation that a lot of people that are having multiple backgrounds can relate to, and there are unique challenges that come with it. So finding the right mentors, finding the right friend to talk about it, but also finding the communities of people that are similar to you. with who you can have a conversation. I think it's and it's an important starting point. And I would say also to do a lot of inner reflection about yourself and like understand a little bit about who you are and what you want to represent. I'm not saying that by reading my book you will have the answer. By reading my book you will relate to it. That's what the message of the book is. It's to make my story relatable, not to give you the answer. I think the answer is something that you have to find yourself, because it's your journey and it's unique to you. But I think it starts from you, and it's a work in progress that you have to do in order to find the answers. But I think like I mentioned, like doing the conversations, having open dialogues and discussions will help you to come up with an answer.
I love that. So since you are a self-published author, how many books have you published for that identity one? And do you plan on writing more books? And are you still going to venture into the self-publishing path? And I'm curious to know, what was the biggest challenge in self-publishing your own book?
So I have self-published only one book, but I did publish a couple of ebooks, which are, again, available on Amazon. I do want to write a second book. I do enjoy the writing process. I think that self-publishing gives you a lot of independence and freedom, but I think the most difficult part is the marketing part, because no one is promoting your book. You have to figure out how to do the promotion. And I would say that marketing is probably the hardest and the most important part of self-publishing a book, because you know, it's easy to write a book, it's easy to put it out there, but if you don't have people to promote it, it's tough, because you're not able to sell the book. So I would say that whoever wants to self-publish a book, just to have a marketing plan and figure out how to promote it. But I would say that self-publishing, like the marketing part, is not just hard for self-publishing, it's also hard if you just publish it with the publishing company. So it's hard no matter what, basically.
Okay. And if you could go back, what's one thing you do differently in your publishing journey?
For me, when I wrote the book, it was really like my own journey. It was my memoir. I think probably I would have probably written a bit more, I would say. I wish my book was a bit longer. But I also made it shorter on purpose because I want to write a second one. So I don't know if I make any sense.
Oh, awesome. So let's talk a bit about women empowerment. That's my favorite topic to talk about. Obviously, that's my favorite topic. All things to do with women, that's where I'm at. So, like, what does women empowerment mean to you? And why women empowerment? What inspired you to advocate for women's empowerment?
So, for me, women's empowerment really means... It means a lot of things, to be honest. Like if you tell me women's empowerment, I think about confidence, I think about independence, I think about freedom, I think about, you know, success, pursuing your passions. Like I think it's a group of different words for me, you know. And I think, unfortunately, we did not reach women's empowerment or equality in the society right now. So for me, like, I would say that the big part of women's empowerment is equality. And the reason why I do a lot of things related to women's empowerment is because I think that we live in a society, and it's a fact, actually. We live in a society where there's a lot of, you know, inequality. You know, you see it at home, you see it in workplaces. There is a lot of societal expectations, you know, versus women, at what women can do and cannot do. And unfortunately, it's just sad. And the reason why I do a lot of the things is because it came from my own personal story, what I've seen, how women in South Asian cultures are treated and how they are viewed and perceived, which is why I was like, okay, I want to change the narrative. And And I got a lot of inspiration by other women. Like, there are a lot of celebrities that I look up to, like Emma Watson, Meghan Markle, you know. I watch a lot of these women and I see how, you know, they give back to the community. I see how they help women to feel empowered. And I was like, you know what? Celebrities can do it. I can do it too, even though I'm not a celebrity. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to just start doing some of this work.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about creating the impact where you are and doing what you can do to create an impact. Like, you don't have to be a celebrity to create an impact, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so, yeah. Have you faced any challenges as a woman in your industry, and how did you overcome them?
Yes, I mean, there are obviously some challenges, especially when you work in a very male-dominated industry. But I think what's important, and I always say to other women who work like in any kind of industry, is that you always want to make sure that you find good mentors, female mentors, I would say, that you find mentors that share your same cultural background, but also to advocate for yourself. I think in a workplace, I think it's very important that you speak up for yourself, you stand up for yourself, and you speak for things that matter to you, and you pursue the goals that you want to achieve. You know, like if there is a promotion that you want, there is a salary increase that you want, you know, there is a training that you want to do. Like, I think it's important that you put yourself forward there. It shows commitment, it shows interest, it shows that you are willing to invest in yourself. And I think those are fundamentals, especially when you work in places where, you know, you might be perceived as, let's say, the weaker gender, or, you know, things like that that society says. I think it's important to have that, like, to find that power and to use that power to gain more confidence.
I like that. Speaking up for yourself, advocating for yourself. I've talked about that severally on this podcast. And I was even seeing, I think I read somewhere that if you can't learn to negotiate for yourself, actually, don't just say yes to the first deal on the table. Don't just say yes to anything. Because I was reading that if you leave the table without speaking for yourself, without advocating for yourself, that's like you leaving money on the table. You don't know if you would have asked, if you would have spoke for yourself, how things would have turned out. I love that. So what's one limiting belief you see holding women back, and how they can overcome it? Whether it's in the workplace, whether it comes to their careers, in any aspect, what's one limiting belief you see holding women back, and how can they overcome it?
I think the biggest one is the fact that we're always second guessing. We second guess our skills. We second guess our abilities. And I think we never think we're good enough for something. That's the biggest problem, I think, because, and you know what, this comes from the way we grew up. Like, we just grow up with this mindset that we have to be perfect, we have to have like 100% of everything before we do something, and because we grew up with this idea of perfectionism, that we often, like, you know, refrain ourselves from pursuing the things that we want. And so because of this second guessing, not feeling good enough, and sometimes, you know, this whole concept about imposter syndrome kicks in, these are some of the reasons why women are not applying the jobs that they like, not going forward for the things they want. And this is very common recurring theme. Like, I see it, like, I, every single woman that I speak to, I say this all the time. And it's sad, honestly. It's sad because I feel like men are not taught the same thing, and usually men are a bit more confident in everything compared to women, but women, we're always second guessing. That's a big problem.
Yeah. We're always doubting ourselves.
That's right.
Yeah, which is so crazy. Since we're still talking about women, I'm curious to know, What's your opinion on feminism?
You know what? I feel like every time we use the word feminism, like, people always associate it with something negative.
It makes me sad, actually.
And I feel like every single person that says is a feminist, like, they're always viewed as like hating men, but it's not about hating men. It's about, like, fighting for equality, you know? Yeah. And I feel like So, like, yeah, and you know what? Even men can be feminist. Like, I don't know why there is like this idea that it's like women hate men when they are feminists.
Yeah,
or this
as if
idea
like if
that
you're a feminist, now you hate men. Like,
no,
it's
but
not,
exactly.
It's not,
but it
yeah.
doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work like that. Sure.
Yeah. So that's one thing I heard. But honestly, I think feminism is just about equality. I think it's about fighting for what you believe and what you deserve.
True, and I'm always not scared to say I'm a feminist. Kill me if you want, shoot me, but I'm a feminist, and I'm not scared to say it loud. So I love that. So if you could give one message to every young girl out there, someone's listening and they feel like, I like what she's talking about. I like what she's doing. I like your journey. Honestly, your journey is inspiring. I love someone who knows what you're doing, who is all about women empowerment, who, like, you have a lot of things that you do to your name, and I'm so excited to see it. And I love that. So if you could give one message to, like, every young girl out there, what would it be?
I would say for every girl who's out there, I think my biggest message would be to always speak up for yourself and don't let anyone dictate your life. Because I think as girls, we're always taught that we have a certain path that we have to follow, which is what the society dictates for us. You know, like you have to do certain things by a certain age, do other things by, you know, another age. And unfortunately, I think we cannot be put in a box. We are very different. Everyone is very different and everyone has a different journey. And I think that no matter what you want to do with your life, always stay true to yourself, you know. So don't let anyone dictate your life, or don't let people's opinions to dictate your life.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. So we're going to go to like quick fire questions. I'm going to ask you some quick random questions. Are you ready?
I'm so excited.
Which book besides your own has had the biggest impact on your life?
You know what? This is like the toughest question because I'm a book lover and I feel like if I have to choose one, it's
not
always
okay,
so hard.
Say, not necessarily one book. You can give me a list. I love it. Don't constrict yourself. You can give me a list of books that have had the biggest impact in your life.
Okay, so the first one is called The Ikigai, which is a book that talks about this concept about finding your Ikigai, which is the reason for being. And I really, really love that book because it really tells you how, you know, you can find your passions and you can find, you know, what you're meant to be doing. It was a great book. I highly recommend it. It's about self-development. The second book.
What's the name on the author?
There are two authors, so I don't remember them on top of my head. But I can send you the links if you want to, like, put it out there because it's such a good book. And it's a very popular, this one. So I can definitely send you that. Yes. And then the second one that I very much liked is called The Atomic Habits by James Clear.
My favorite. That's even actually finished
such a
reading
good,
that book. I finished reading it 2 days ago, literally.
It's such a good book. And now I'm reading a third one, which is called The Diary of a CEO.
I love it.
It's such a good book as well. And let me give you like another book, which is called another. I have two more. It's the other one is called How to Win Friends or How to Make Friends. I don't know if you remember. It's like a very popular book, this one. And then the fifth one is called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So basically, I gave you all self-development books.
Those are my favorite type of books to read, honestly.
Okay, so.
And a quick one before we go to the next quick question. Like, how does someone, if someone is trying to navigate a reading culture, because I'm trying to do that, I'm trying to read at least a book a month. And I know there's someone out there listening who would like to, like, cultivate the reading culture. How do you go about it? Since you're into books.
So there are different things that you can do to cultivate this, habit of reading books. I think, what some of the things that you can do is, of course, you can read a book. Let's say early in the morning, before you start your day. Let's say you're working from home, or it's a Saturday. You can read it in the morning with your coffee. You can read your book while you're commuting. But I also highly recommend, reading books, let's say in a coffee shop. You go in a nice coffee shop, you have your book, you disconnect yourself from the world. That's one way. Or also going to a park. I think that's also a nice way to be in the nature, to be connected in the nature, and also to have a nice book to read. That would be like, I would say that's a nice way to start with this habit. And I would say also to never start big. Like I know that you just mentioned, one book per month. I think you can start, let's say, with one book per quarter, which could be maybe a bit more achievable. And then once you get the hang of it, then you can switch it to like a book a month, which is also pretty feasible, because I also do the same thing. I do a book a month.
What's a confidence hack that always works for you? Some days, of course, if you wake up and you feel like, oh, you're not your best self, you're not confident enough. So, what's a confidence hack that always works for you?
For me, it's putting my bold lipstick.
Ooh, love it.
Yeah. I
That's
put it
nice.
even
That's
when I'm
nice.
wearing my pajamas.
Ah. For me now, it's lip gloss. Once I put on my lip gloss, you can't tell me nothing. I'm curious to know what's a mantra you live by?
Be the change you want to see in the world by
Ooh.
Gandhi.
Love that. Love that. Love that. How do you handle self-doubt?
I handle self-doubt with the self like a positive self-affirmations.
Ah, my like you affirm yourself. I am this. I love that. I love that. I'm an affirmations girly, honestly.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, if you could co-author a book with any woman in history, holy shit.
Any woman in history?
Okay, any woman or any man, anyone in his, anyone, if it's a woman, it's a man, anyone in history, who would it be if you could co-author a book with them?
The person has to be dead. That's what you're saying, right?
No, no, in history, dead or alive.
Oh, okay, gotcha. You know what? Because I'm a big fan of Meghan Markle, I think I would like to write a book with her.
Oh, that's amazing. Have you watched her latest show? It's so nice.
I did watch it, and I don't know why. I don't know why some people don't like her, and I'm thinking, but what is it that she have done?
Like, how can you even hate Meghan Markle? Like, are you okay?
Like
She's literally an inspiration.
yeah, and then
She's so humble. She's so nice.
it's exactly, but people think that she's an opportunistic person, and I'm thinking, no, people are saying she's an opportunist, but I'm thinking, but why? Because
And is it a
I
bad
don't
thing to be an
understand.
opportunist?
I don't know. People, I don't know why people don't like her, but I really like the things that she does, and I liked her from before because she is a feminist, and she does a lot
Yeah.
of humanitarian work, and she does promotes women's empowerment. Like, this is why I like her, and I'm thinking, why are you not guys liking her?
I don't know why people hate her, because I love her. I'm a fan of her work. What's your writing routine like? Are you an early bird or a night owl? Like, when are you the most active or creative? Because me, I'm a night owl. Honestly, this podcast, most of the episodes, I record them at 4 a.m., 3 a.m. That's when I'm most creative. That's when my creative juices are flowing. So I'm curious to know, like, are you an early bird or a night owl?
Early bird.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah,
What's your guilty pleasure? Sorry.
no, sorry, I love being an early bird. Like, I wake up early and do my stuff
So, like,
usually.
by the way, take us through your routine. So, how does your day look like? Since you do a lot of things and living in Canada, like, how does your day look like? Quick one.
Well, I do have a full-time job, so that really takes like the whole week. But I would say that on a weekend, usually I, let's say I wake up by 8, I go for a nice walk, and then I come home. And then let's say maybe I'm like creating content on YouTube, or maybe like I'm editing my video, or maybe let's say I am, you know, watching some language videos. Like it, everything that I do, it's pretty like blocked. Like I have like actual times that I have blocked on my calendar. And then let's say if I have to respond to emails, I do it in those like first few hours. And then I take like, I usually take my Saturday to go out and to really detach myself. And I, let's say I go to a nice coffee shop or to a nice, you know, brunch place. And then in the afternoon, I usually go, let's say either for a run or I go to the gym. And then in the evening, I try to like be creative and come up with a nice like recipe or make a good pasta dish. And then I do the same thing pretty much on the Sunday as well. That's usually what I do on the weekends, though.
Okay. Nice. I like it. So, I'm curious to know, what's one limiting belief you had to unlearn as a woman?
I would say my limiting belief. Well, I would say one thing that I was always told is that women are not allowed to do that. Women are not allowed to do this and that. Like, there were so many beliefs, and just the whole fact of like not being allowed was a limiting belief that I had to really unlearn. Like, women can and are allowed to. Like, this is how I switched it. So it was just about different sentences that I heard about not being able to do things. It was just about switching the sentence and making it positive.
Awesome. I like it. Let's dive into, because one thing I like about women empowerment, I feel like we cannot always talk about women empowerment without talking about financial and career empowerment when it comes to women. Do you agree? Mm-hmm. So what industries or career paths do you think need more female representation, since you're out there? What industries or career paths do you think need more female representations? Think that you think women should venture into more? What are those?
I would say all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
All of them. I think all of them need, because I think there's a lot of lack of representation in engineering industry, other industry as well. Like, I spoke to people from different industries. There is really a lack of representation in everything, I would say. So every single one of them.
True. I like that. And then, I don't know if you've heard about this misconception, this whole idea that people always say, women don't support other women. Actually, I hate it, honestly. I hate it. I don't know if men are the one who like saying this thing that women don't support other women. How do you respond to that idea? I hate that notion. I hate it. And I don't like it at all. So how do you respond to the idea that women don't support other women?
I think there might be a partial truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think it depends as well from person to person, because I think sometimes, yeah, I would say that, yes, there were times where I also felt that women were not supporting me, for instance, like many women that I have met in my life, which is why I think it's always wise to choose the right circle of people. But I do think that it could be partially true. Like, it's not could be, it is partially true, because I think sometimes women tend to feel jealous of each other, and they might backstab you, unfortunately. But I think it's about choosing the right circle of women to be surrounded with.
Awesome. What advice would you give to women who feel alone in their journey? Because honestly, it can be lonely sometimes. And one person who pursues a lot of things, and then you are like in a, should I say, a strange country? I don't know if you've ever felt alone in your journey. And what advice would you give to women who feel alone in their journey, or just anyone out there who's listening who feels alone in their journey? What would you tell them?
I would say to find the right tribe of people, to find the right group of women to be surrounded with. I think that's a good way to not feel alone in your journey. I think communities, finding volunteering groups of women or groups that are run by women, it's a good way to not feel alone and to feel like you belong to something.
True. And the last but not the least, I think our second last question, how do you hope your book or work, all the things you do, impacts the next generation of women, of the next generation, of everyone? How do you hope your book or work impacts the next generation?
I just hope to inspire other people to take actions in their life. I think that's the only thing that I want to inspire, is just to be able to create a chain of actions, basically. I feel that if one person decides to make a change, I hope that the other person that does the same thing. It's sort of like a chain effect, so that, you know, everyone else continues and that this chain never breaks.
I love that, because honestly, I think I was kind of inspired by your work when you sent me your link tree. I was like, yo, this lady has done all these things. I was like, how old is she again? I was like, okay, if she can do all these things, and she's like a woman like me, what's stopping me? So I was honestly inspired by what you've done, the work you've done when you sent me your link tree. And yeah, it inspired me, okay, I can also, the only limit is me, actually. We are our only limit. I think we're always our worst enemy. If there's someone who can limit you, is you, actually, right?
Yeah, so, I agree. Yeah,
nice. Lastly, what do you want your legacy to be, either in the women's empowerment movement, when it comes to books, being an author? What do you want your legacy to be?
I think I just want to be remembered as the woman who never gave up, and who always followed her dreams. I think that's my legacy, and I think I want people to do the same thing too. That's which is pretty much related to what I have just answered. You know, being an inspiration, being remembered as this woman who was ambitious and, you know, multifaceted and things like that, I would say.
Okay. I love that. I think I've handled all the questions. Is there anything you'd like to put across before we finish, before we end this episode? Is there something you think that, yeah?
No, I mean, to be honest, I think we covered pretty much everything. I mean, if people want to learn more about the work that we do, there is the website of Women in Leadership Canada. I volunteer for the Victoria chapter, so people can see a lot of the work that we do in relation to women and how we help them.
I'm going to copy the link, and I'm going to leave the link on the description box of this episode, even your book, so where everyone can find the work, yeah?
Yes, and you know, there is my YouTube channel called Urmi Hossain. There is my LinkedIn profile called Urmi Hossain. And of course, if people want to buy my book, it's available on Amazon. It's called Discovering Your Identity, A Rebirth from Intergenerational Struggle. And on Amazon, they can also find my ebooks, which are related to personal branding, public speaking, language learning. So there is a lot of content out there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Urmi.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for gracing your presence on our podcast today. Thank you so much for reaching out. I like people who go for what they want, honestly. I like people who go for what they want. You inspired me with that. And finally, as we finish, is there something you would love to leave with my listeners? One thing you'd love, if maybe a quote, something, what you'd love to leave with my listeners, what they can remember from this episode?
So my favorite quote is it's this one related to women's empowerment, that says, some women fear the fire, some women simply become it.
Ooh, I love that. That's so amazing. Some women fear the fire, some women become it.
Yes.
That's the best way to close off this episode, guys. If you have not even listened to anything on this episode, please remember that. Anyway, it was so nice having you with me on this episode. Wishing you the best in your journey. Waiting for your next book. Waiting for your next book. And I'm definitely going to have to purchase your first book, and I'm going to have to read it because I'm someone who's trying to get my pages in, trying to read more books in there. So thank you so much. Wishing you the best in your journey, and hope to do this more, and maybe hope to meet you somewhere in a women space, because that's my favorite space to be in. Those are the type of events I love to attend. So yeah, hoping to collaborate more soon. So yeah, this was awesome. This was fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Anyway, guys, if you love this episode, remember to share this episode. Reach this podcast after listening to it. And if you still want to be part of What's Your Unspoken Story, the series, I'm going to leave the link to the Google form on this list. I'm going to leave the link to everything Urumi has done. And then you can check out her book, her website, all the work she's done, our YouTube channel. Yeah, and remember everything that you talked about for this episode. This was awesome. This was inspiring. And I'll see you guys on the next episode. Adios!